We are doing the Doshot Aran. We're up to page Chafchet in the Shalem edition, Membet in the Mishor edition, and Ayin Zayin in the Mosad Rav Kook edition. And the Ran discussed last week this idea of God giving signs for prophecy, and the Ran had questioned the Ramban's understanding. He said, how could it be that the sign, so to speak, locks in the prophecy? If that were so, then how come, how could you believe a prophecy? That means that a prophecy is like, it might happen. If you do a sign, it will for sure happen. How does that work? He suggested perhaps the prophecies for bad require a sign, because we know the prophecies for bad, God sometimes goes back on them. God sometimes says, if they repented, I won't do the prophecy for bad. And perhaps over there, you require the sign to lock in the prophecy, because otherwise really the prophecy always has potential for changing. God's always looking for a way not to do bad in the world. But he says that doesn't work, because we find that there are prophecies for good where God made signs, and the Ramban brings those as examples of where the sign locks in the prophecy. So he has this question over the Ramban's understanding as to why the prophets had to make signs. So now says the Ran, listen to what I have to say about this. The who and the idea is the following. It's known that really there's no reason that something good that's about to happen should be fulfilled more than something bad. Because just as when God says something bad is going to happen, and then the people who were deserving of something bad, let's say the city of Nineveh, they were deserving of having the city overturned on them, then they repented, so then technically up above, even the midat hadin, even the aspects of exacting justice that exist up above, even they would demand that Nineveh would no longer be overturned, because that's no longer justice. The people repented. Ken ra'ui, by the same token, what's fitting is, sheham yu'ad atov, when something was prophesied that it's predestined that something good should happen, kasho yeirama alalav, if someone then sins, shechata'av yimne'u atov mimenu, then his sins should really preclude the good thing from happening. Then and really there should be no difference. God gives a prophecy, something should happen. The person changes the way he behaves, so then logic would dictate that it doesn't matter if the prophecy was for good or the prophecy was for bad. Now the person is no longer deserving of that prophecy. So logically, there really shouldn't be any difference between a prophecy for good or a prophecy for bad. Once a person changed his lifestyle, so that should dictate whether the prophecy should come true or not. And technically, there is a full verse, a clear verse that illustrates this point. The pasuk says in Jeremiah, "Rega daber al goy v'al mamlacha livnot v'lintoa." At a moment, I might declare that the following nation, the following kingdom, should be built. They should be firmly planted. V'asa rabeinai, and then that nation or that kingdom does that which is evil in my eyes, levilti shmoa bekoli, and they don't listen to what I've told them. V'nichamti ala tova. The verse seems to say explicitly, and then I take back the good that I promised. If they change their ways, they started sinning. The pasuk seems to clearly say, I will not fulfill that which I initially declared to do good on them. Aval imi mashecha inyan haze, ritzoni lomar shayudim atovim v'araim yishtanu. But if we really go with this concept that prophecies for good and bad can change, lo yishir davar yibachen bo anavi, then you have a problem. You can never check if a prophet is telling the truth or not. He'll say, you know, that's what God said yesterday, but today they changed. So there's a technical problem with it. Logically, that's the way it should be. But technically, we have a problem. Ki autot v'moftim kvar yavou al panim rabim en imut behim. There are many ways to make miracles and signs. That's not a way to prove that a prophet is telling the truth. That's why God said there has to be a way that I give a prophecy that prophecy is not going to change, and then you will be able to verify, lo yishtanu b'shum panim, God had to make some version of prophecy which isn't going to change at all. V'lema shelo haya efshal ze b'yehudim ha'ra'im, so that it didn't make sense to do that with regard to prophecies about bad things happening, ken mechok Hashem yitbach le'ara l'shavim elav, because God doesn't want to punish people who've repented. That's not the way God works. Im ken, so be'echreach she'ikayem yehudim atovim al kol panim. God, so to speak, in order to help us out, God had to, so to speak, make one type of prophecy where we know He's not going to change His mind. It's not going to change. So God didn't want that to be the prophecies for bad, because there God is happy if He changes His mind. He's happy if the people repent. So God said, even though technically, logically, if the people change, I should not fulfill the prophecies for good, but I'm going to fulfill the prophecies for good for the sake of verification, so that you can know who is a liar and who is a true prophet. There has to be some type of prophecy where you know I'm not going to change. So in order to allow us to verify, God said, I will not change the prophecies for good. Ki'im lo, for if this weren't so, lo yotil davar nuchal livchon bo hanavi. Then there's no way to check out if a prophet's telling the truth or not. V'achar shelo haya ken rak le'echreach asher zacharti. So now that we said that really the whole reason why God does not go back on a prophecy for good is just because we need that as a tool to verify if the prophet is telling the truth or not, if he's a true prophet or a liar. Ra'ui shekasher lo yechuyav mitzad ha'echreach, then what makes sense is that when you don't need this point, you don't need to verify a prophecy, you know he's a true prophet, then what would make sense is sheyunach ha'inyan letivo, that God would let things go their natural course. Meaning there are situations where the prophet has a prophecy that's not being told over to anyone. There is no question whether he's telling the truth or not, because he ain't talking to no one. Think about it. God tells Avram, your children will have the following things. Is Avram saying that to anyone? There's a prophecy for good. Things will be good for your children. But that prophecy isn't being told to anyone. So then says the Ran, in prophecies where no one has to verify whether the prophet is telling the truth or not, logic would dictate that in those prophecies we go back to the logical order of things. A prophecy for good is no different than a prophecy for bad. If the people are still deserving of that prophecy coming true, it will come true. And if not, it won't come true. There's no reason that God should be bound by what He said, so to speak, because the prophet himself knows that he saw true prophecy. And no one else knows about the prophecy. So to speak, it's between the prophet and God. There God says, why should I be bound by a prophecy for good more than a prophecy for bad? I give you prophecy with understanding that you will live up to your end of the deal. So then, says the Ran, then there's no difference between a prophecy for good or a prophecy for bad. So God lets the prophecies take their more natural course, and that is that prophecies for good have the potential for change, just like prophecies for bad. So now what we know is that the only reason why God wouldn't change a prophecy is when the prophet tells it over, when it's a prophet that we have to listen to. Kmo sheba mitzvah al zeh, like you have the mitzvah. The Torah says, v'amar elav tishmun, listen to the true prophet. Kim lo yeh lanu derech livchon oto, yefshar sheniyem tzuvim nishmo elav. Because logically, if we cannot test him, then you can't give us a mitzvah to listen to him. You can't know if it's the truth. Aval ha'avot shelo ayu mizeh klal, but the patriarchs, the forefathers, no one was testing their prophecy. They weren't prophets like the prophets after Moshe. No one had to listen to them as prophets. All prophecy before Moshe Rabbeinu was personal. It is from Moshe Rabbeinu onward that we find the prophet being told to tell other people something. Until Moshe Rabbeinu's time, every prophecy you will find was the person's own personal prophecy. So the patriarchs, they weren't prophets that other people had to test whether they were telling the truth or not, because they never went to other people and said, God told me to tell you this. That didn't happen until Moshe Rabbeinu. Nisharu Yehudim Ha'em Ahim Hamuchlat. And therefore, the prophecies that were given to the forefathers, they didn't have this rule that says that a prophecy for good isn't going to change. Rather, they went with their natural course, which the natural and the logical course is that the prophecy will come true, provided that the people are still deserving. Ritzoni lomar, what I mean to say is, Shayudim atovim mehim, efsharei abitul kayudim araim. And then that means that even good prophecies can be annulled, just like bad prophecies. Im lo bema sheba alav poal dimyoni. So now getting back to the point that Ran wants to make, so here you now understand why God would lock in a prophecy with a sign. Remember, the Ramban had said, when you make a sign, that's not just a sign of what's to come, but it's the beginning of the enactment of the prophecy. The prophecy has begun to come true. Once it's begun to come true, God isn't going to change it. So the Ran says, why would that be necessary with regard to prophecies about a good thing? Don't we say God isn't going to turn back on a prophecy for good? Says the Ran, no. Really, God would turn back on a prophecy for good just like a prophecy for bad. Only for our sake, we have a mitzvah to listen to the prophets. So God says, how can you know who's telling the truth and who's lying? The only way is, if you have a way of verifying. How do you verify? If he gives you prophecy for good and it does not come true exactly like he says, you know he's a liar. But when it came to the forefathers, their prophecy was personal. They weren't telling it over to anyone else. So there's no reason why God should be bound by a prophecy for good. They knew they were telling the truth. No one else was hearing the prophecy. It was between them and God. So technically, those prophecies, God could turn back on. If they were no longer deserving of the prophecy, then there was no reason why it should come true. So there, God says, how can I lock in the prophecy? I'll give you a sign. The prophecy will start coming true already now. Shezem mekayem ha-yehudim kulam tovim ve-ra'im. The sign, that's a beginning of the fulfillment of the prophecy, and that ensures the fulfillment of the prophecy, be it a prophecy for good or a prophecy for bad. Reuven, you wanted something?
Yeah, so for the Avot, they had a lot of different prophecies that weren't just applying to them, they were applying to their children. And how does that apply to that?
Excellent. So Be'ezrat Hashem, next time we will begin, the Ran will take this concept that he just developed and start applying it to the different prophecies the Avot had. Well, that's an excellent point. Be'ezrat Hashem, we're going to spend the next few classes exploring the different examples in Bereishis and understanding why or how we apply this rule to each one. Right, it's a good point. If you guys want next Friday.